Okay. Am I talking to Gunnery Sergeant Williams here?
You are speaking to Gunnery Sergeant Williams.
All right. Okay. What's your first name, sir?
It's Ronald.
Ronald? Where are you from, Ronald?
I'm originally from St. Peter's.
From St. Peter's. High school?
Francis Howell.
All right.
The original Francis Howell.
The original,
none of the,
right.
Add-ons.
The ones that just made it.
The original Francis Howell.
Ones that just made it to the state semifinals in football.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
First time ever.
That's outstanding. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they've ever made it that far before.
They had.
We almost did when I was in.
Did you play football there, Ronald?
I did.
Was Larry the coach, Coach Branson?
No.
Gensler?
Coach Gensler was the coach.
Uh-huh. You played for Tom Gensler, huh? Okay.
I can't believe I remembered the name. I'm horrible with names.
Ron, do you mind if I call you Ronald?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
What unit are you in, Ronald?
I'm with Marine Wing Support Squadron 371.
Marine Wing Support Squadron 371. Marine Wing, correct. Support 371.
Yes.
Okay. What is your MOS or job, Ronald?
I'm a military policeman.
Okay. And how long have you been in the Marines?
About 18 years.
Wow. Okay. I know I'm going to ask you a lot of stuff from your, background stuff here. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, that's great.
Okay. Ronald, give me your reason that you joined the Marines.
Wow. Originally?
Because this is before 9/11. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, originally I was just going to join for 4 years to get the experience. At that time in the area, you had a better chance of getting on with a law enforcement department with military experience than you did to just merely go to a police academy. So that was my original intent when I joined.
Okay. And what kept you in?
I enjoyed it. It fit well with what I like to do, and I guess really what it all boiled down to was I enjoyed it a lot more. I already had a family. I was already married before I joined and had a child and had another one on the way, so it was a good choice of for a career, for having health insurance and the whole nine yards, kind of the whole package deal.
Right. And how long have you been married now?
It'll be 21 years in December.
Congratulations. Next month, huh?
Well, thank you.
How many children?
Yes. I have three children.
Three children. Ages?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's see. She won't be 20 till next month. I have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 15-year-old.
Three teenagers. Just tell me how your wife keeps that in control with you off to war.
Well, one's off to college, and you'd think that would be one less out of her hair, but really not necessarily. She's
right.
She still needs money, so.
Right.
But it's a lot harder job for her than it is for me, and I mean that with all sincerity. It's a lot harder job for her to stay home and be with two teenage kids, than it is for me to be over here.
Right. What's your wife's name, sir?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. J-E-N-I-F-F-E-R? No, J-E-N-N.
J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R.
Okay, thank you. I told you I was going to go into detail here. We're not going to leave one stone
unturned. No, that's fine.
How many deployments have you had over all these years? I bet it's a lot.
No, you'd be surprised it's not. I've always been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay.
This is actually my first combat deployment. I was deployed to Norway once, but it wasn't a combat deployment. This is my first combat deployment.
Okay. And let's see, been deployed first time. And how long have you been in Afghanistan, Ronald?
We've been here about 2 months.
2 months.
Just over 2 months.
And when do you get to rotate home?
Sometime in April.
April. Okay. where are you at in Afghanistan? And you know, I understand if you can't be, you know, just in as specific as you can be.
Well, you know, I just got back from being out, but our home base is kind of Camp Leatherneck.
Base
but
camp
we go
is
out
Leatherneck.
And about all over the place. Right, we do patrols and convoys all over in southern Afghanistan.
What province is that in?
Helmand.
Helmand, okay. Helmand. Seems like all the Marines I talk to are in Helmand.
That's where that Camp Leatherneck's the large installation where most people, you know, set up shop. Whether you stay there or not, but it's kind of your home port, if you will.
Right. Okay, so from Leatherneck, tell me what you guys do. You said you fan out, do patrols.
We do convoy security for all the, for different supply convoys and logistics convoys going up to different patrol bases and such. We provide entry control point security, like gate sentries for Camp Leatherneck, for our the area that contains our assets, our air assets.
So you're patrolling, you're providing security for the air assets, ground troops, or what?
On Camp Leatherneck, we provide security for the air assets.
Okay.
But we provide security for the combat troops, for the convoys going to the combat troops for supplies and logistics and such.
Okay.
Right. That's that's what we prefer to do, to tell you the truth, to do the convoys outside of the wire, if you will.
Outside of the wire, sure. And how many of those do you do in a week, Ronald?
Wow, we've actually been pretty busy since we got out here. We didn't know how busy the command was going to let us be on those, but we've actually spent quite a bit of time outside the wire since we've been here.
Ronald, if you can, just give me a convoy. Just tell me what that's like, what you see, what you experience, mostly on your average security convoy.
Let's see.
Just or give me an example
well,
of one day.
Well, anywhere from like if you may have a dozen or so vehicles, and we prefer to have you know at least four security vehicles. Gun trucks that provide security for those convoys to get them safely from point A to point B.
Right.
So we'll go. We try to do them in the safest manner possible. We do a lot of them at night. That way you get to go through. You go through the towns without a lot of the population up and out because they like to stand alongside the roads and watch you go by. They're pretty in awe of our vehicles and our machinery and such. So,
I have to ask, have you guys been ambushed? Been in any hairy situations yet?
No, not yet.
Not ambushed? Okay.
No.
I really don't know what the tempo is of the fighting over there this time of year. Doesn't it slow down this time of year and ramp up in the spring?
It typically does, yes. Typically in the winter, it settles down somewhat. They kind of fed down for the winter, if you will. I mean, that's historic. We don't know how it'll be this year.
Right.
But historically, yeah, things settle down a bit in the wintertime, usually.
In your unit, Ronald, how many guys is there typically? I'm used to, you know, infantry, platoon, company, battalion, and so forth. How does that work for you?
With our military police platoon is about 50. Now, our squadron that we belong to or that we fall under for this deployment, there's like 580-some people on the deployment in the squadron.
580. Where are you guys based at in the States?
Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma. That must be nice. Is that where you live?
Very hot.
Is that where you live?
Yes.
Pretty hot. is that where your family lives, Ronald?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any family back here in St. Charles County?
Ooh, St. Charles County. I don't think I do anymore. Not, maybe some aunts and uncles that are still back there. But my father's now moved. He was in the St. Louis area. He just moved to Georgia. And my mother's in northern Missouri, in a little town called Unionville, Missouri. So, no, I don't think anybody's in St. Charles County anymore.
Okay.
Still got a lot of friends in St. Charles County, though.
Anybody in your unit over there that was from close to home here?
That, you know, I'm sitting right next to a guy that's from, what town are you from? Montgomery City, Missouri.
Sure, that's...
Which is around the Herman area.
Yeah, it's just west of just west of St. Charles County.
Yeah, one of my corporals is from the general area.
As a gunnery sergeant, how many men do you lead, Ronald?
About 50.
Wow.
I guess our platoon's about 50 strong.
You're the platoon sergeant?
Okay. My title is actually staff non-commissioned officer in charge.
You had to make it hard for you, did you?
Staff sergeant. Yeah, I'm sorry. My staff sergeant is the platoon sergeant. I'm the staff and COIC. You can abbreviate it, but nobody will understand it probably. It's staff and COIC. I just said it long form for you.
That must be an awesome responsibility, especially where you're at.
You know, it is. It's a different feeling to be in this position on a combat deployment than it would be if, say, I was the corporal sitting next to me. I think I've taken on a different attitude towards it. It just being older, and I don't know. They all want to go out and do exciting stuff all the time, and I just want to get them back home safely. So I guess it changes over the years as you age.
Right. We've been in Afghanistan, I guess, for about 10 years. The U.S. has, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, obviously you knew a lot about what was going on over there before you got there with your deployment. What did you guys learn before you deployed over there that can help you guys all come back safely?
We've done extensive training from about a year out from this deployment, because you know more than a year ahead of time that you're going. So we've done a lot of training in-house on our own. We've gotten a lot of weapons ranges to get all these guys more familiar with the weapon systems, as well as going to the formal exercise that builds up into going on this deployment called Mojave Viper out of 29 Palms, California.
Mojave Viper.
All the Marines have done Mojave Viper.
Gotcha.
Mojave.
That sounds cool. Okay.
And, all the Marines the build-ups have been very organized, and these Marines have just done an outstanding job. I've never been a part of a platoon that's been this proficient and good at what they do.
So you can safely say that your training has helped you guys out since you've been there already.
Oh, absolutely. If there's no platoon that I've ever been a part of that was more ready for this deployment than these guys.
Ronald, I guess since you said this is your first combat deployment, and maybe I'm wrong, but is this the first time you're going to be away from your family over the holidays?
Oh, no. I've been away lots of times.
Okay.
At different schooling. In addition to deployments, the longer you stay in, the more schools and places the military sends you to make you more proficient and prepared for your job. So I've been away a lot.
So how do you and your wife handle that when you're away and she's at home with the kids? What do you guys do? I guess, you know, the biggest thing for you is communications have advanced so much in the 18 years you've been in. It's, I guess you can just Skype them, right?
Yeah, sometimes the internet is kind of patchy out here, so Skype
Okay.
doesn't work so good most of the time. But in what you said, you're absolutely right. I went to Norway on a training exercise with NATO in 1998, and the only way means of communicating back to the States then was COM had a phone that they could, if you could get in there amongst all the other Marines, you could dial back to the States and talk for 15 minutes at a
Right.
time. And now, I mean, with the internet and with all the advances, I mean, I went on a 30-day task force last month. I just got back from it, and we had satellite Iridium phones up there that we could make phone calls from out in the middle of nowhere to home. I talked to my wife out in the middle of,
Right.
nowhere, Afghanistan, on a satellite Iridium phone. So yeah, that's how much things have changed in the last, 12, 13 years.
With 18 years in, Ronald, are you thinking about getting out at 20 years and retiring and going into civilian police force?
Yes and no. I am retiring at 20 years. I'll have about 20 months left when I come off this deployment, and I am not at this time planning on getting on the police force. Not as of right now. I've got a house in Unionville, Missouri, and I'm gonna settle down there and figure out what I want to do next. I think I want to open my own business, to tell you the truth.
That's awesome. A house in Unionville, you said?
Yes.
Have any idea what kind of business you want to own?
I think a private investigation business.
Wow. What led to that?
I've always wanted to run my own business, and I've kicked around different ideas over the years. I have some background during my time in the military with CID, which is Criminal Investigation Division, and I
Sure.
really like that work too. So detective work is kind of one of my things that I love to do.
What led you away from becoming a civilian policeman? Have you had enough of that?
Well, I don't want to say that I absolutely wouldn't do it. It's a possibility. I don't really like police work that much anymore.
Sorry if I stall, I'm catching up.
Oh, no, that's fine. No worries. Take your time. Takes me that long to figure out what I'm going to say next anyway,
No, you're
so.
doing great. Ronald, if you can, if there's any, misconceptions people have about what's going on in Afghanistan right now, could you dispel any of those? Can you kind of tell me what it's really like over there right now?
Well, it's somewhat of a transitional type structure over here now. As we're in the process of bringing the numbers down
Right.
in the country right now. So we're working in conjunction with the Afghan government to, help them get stood up on their feet right now. So there's a lot of things we do to cooperate with the civilian populations that we probably didn't do early on in the war. What I experienced directly on our convoys is that, we in our doing our convoy routes now, we cannot, prohibit their movement on the roadways at all for our safety. We have to allow them to pass through our convoys and not, hold up traffic at all. And that's the, winning hearts and minds kind of thing of cooperating with them so that they're happy with what we're doing in supporting them, as well as still accomplishing our mission here. So we're working in conjunction and cooperation with the population out here, and I think we're doing quite a bang up job of it, actually. As far as misconceptions, I don't know what specifically you're asking there. I don't
I guess
know
just
what
about
misconceptions anybody would have.
Right. No, you answered that just fine, Ronald.
Okay.
The person that contacted me said they might have some photos I could use to go with the story. Who would I talk to for that? Do you know?
The public affairs representative is sitting right here that took a lot of the photos on that last task force I was just on.
Okay.
So I'm sure you could coordinate it with him when you're done with me here if you want to.
Okay. Are they going to let you guys have Thanksgiving Day off? Or are you going to be working?
There's no days off on deployment. You know, in fact, it's hard to know what day of the week it is. I have to look at my watch to know what day of the week it is, or else I wouldn't know Wednesday from Sunday. So there's no days off out here. We will have turkey dinner, though. The chow is all set up to give us a big dinner.
Awesome. What? How many hours are you guys ahead of us here?
Ahead of you in Missouri,
or
we
just
are
the U.S. and
about 10 and a half.
Okay, so it's about 7 o'clock over there.
It is 7:48 p.m.
1948 p.m. Is it dark?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what it is out here. They have a half-hour time zone or something. It's 30 minutes
okay.
instead of, you know, every hour like we have in the States. For some reason, it's 10 and a half hours different.
Ronald, do you think your wife would mind answering a few questions for the story?
Oh, I'm sure she would.
Okay.
Wouldn't mind. I mean, I'm sure she would answer questions for you.
Okay. And it would just be, you know, how it's like when you are deployed and, you know, just that kind of questioning, that's all.
Oh, yeah, that's the most interesting thing, really. The whole there's a whole course of events that takes place when you're away from your family for a while.
Would you want her to call me like you guys have done here, or do you want to give me the number there and I can call her?
I can give you her number.
Okay. Go ahead, Ronald.
It's area code 928.
Okay.
344.
Okay.
2095.
And let's see, she's 2 hours behind me, so I'll wait a while before I call.
Actually, she's only an hour behind you right now because Arizona doesn't do daylight savings. So they're actually on mountain time during the winter, and then they're on Pacific during the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
I thought Yuma was more up in the mountains a little bit, and it might be a little cooler there, but no, huh?
No, it's right on the border of Mexico and California.
Ronald, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to say? Something that, you know, that you want to say for the story?
Wow, that's an open-ended question.
It sure is. And please, take your time. Take your time. I didn't know
I guess
there
I
was
just,
something you'd hope I'd ask and haven't, so I always ask people that at the end of the interview.
No, I just say happy holidays to all my friends back in that area. Happy holidays to them, and congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals, World Series champs.
All right. And you'll get to see your friends soon when you come back to Missouri.
Yes, I will definitely be taking a trip out there shortly after I get back.
Hey, Ronald, that's Williams, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
The story.
Did you want to talk to the public affairs rep?
Yes, I do, because I really want to get some photos. We're planning on this being front page for Wednesday's paper.
Oh, this Wednesday?
No, it'd be next Wednesday. Our deadline for this
okay.
Wednesday was yesterday. I tried to get it in for this Wednesday, but you were still on the task force. But
right.
anyway, we'll have it up online. Do you have a pen?
Sure.
Go to stltoday.com.
Uh-huh.
And the story will be up, you know, I hate to say, you know, by Wednesday and it not be there. Just any time after Wednesday, start looking for it, okay?
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, do you want a paper shipped to you? Or to your
sure.
wife, maybe?
Yeah, either or.
Either or, okay. Well, tell me where I can mail you a copy of the paper, Ronald.
I'll give you the home address. It's easier.
Sure,
it's,
sure.
It's 7229.
722, okay.
East 26th Street, 26.
Okay.
And that's Yuma.
Yuma.
Y-U-M-A, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
85365.
85365. All right. I will mail her a copy of the paper when it comes out next Wednesday, and in the meantime, you can see the story online, sir.
Outstanding.
Thank you very much. Great interview, Ronald.
Hey, thank you very much. Just a second, I'll put you on with Corporal Jones.
And Ronald, thank you very much for your service.
Oh, thank you too. Thank you for the support.
Bye-bye.
Hang on.
Hi, this is Corporal Jones.
Hi, Corporal Jones. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Can I give you my email address?
Certainly. This is for photos of the Gunny?
Photos of Gunny Williams, correct.
Yeah. Actually, the best way to do that is the Divids company that you coordinated the interview through.
Uh-huh.
You can download high-resolution versions of the photos directly off of that website. And whoever the representative was who you spoke with that coordinated that will be able to hook you up with those. I'm actually also going to take one more sort of portrait photo of him in just a second, and I'll have that up this evening as well.
I don't
but,
know.
Just because – what's that?
I was going to say, I don't know if I have the contact information for the person that set this up for me. Can you give that to
okay.
me?
Okay. Well, give me one sec. I'll take down your email, and I will send you a link to the Divids page then.
Excellent.
All right. Ready when you are.
RKORANDO at your journal, yourjournal.com. RKORANDO@yourjournal.com.
All right, Mr. Carando, I got it.
All right. Thank you very much, Corporal.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.